falling down, 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 ever falling down, ever falling down, 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 ever falling down.
Deep in the fire, we're blindsided by Mack trucks on a side street in a alleyway in a foreign city. I'd still make it back home. Make it on a highway, no bulletins, no street signs, no other cars, no radio, no satellite. I'd still make it back home. Connected to the universe like a string of lights on a holiday. If one's out, doesn't mean the demise of all who roam the stone. From the earth child with the fire, water, and sky under his toes, under his blows, under his belt. His step Orion sets the tones. I'll never regret the way canals of birth shot me forth on my feet, not my fins. I am a man to finish it out. Don't forget gravity laws, only thing keeping me from flight. Wings of space, infinite night. Downward spiral, not in sight. Never, never.
Ever falling down, 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 ever falling down.
Wait, there's no father, it's her and her offspring. Nobody's offering help, skin ain't softening. Axe chopped to the ankles, her baby's coughing. Maybe the check will come today, the wait's exhausting. She's a pillar, so she can't be tilted. Give her sons the feeling as though they got a million to blow. Need no stilts to reach the stars. Teach the kids to reach with their heads and they each will be yours. I give a piece of me for her to have a piece of mind. Or a piece of your chicken, cause it's ramen all the time. She's thin and getting scared, but she never lets on. Many men will not fall, cause they mama's head. Strong, 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 strong.
Never falling down, 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 ever falling down.
Pick your feet on up, why don't you get on up? Lift your spirits up, damn, I know this shit is tough. I flunked in high school, my pops, he left me young. I often lost my cool days, I feared my mama's gun. I lost my only son when my girl, she almost died. A bad abortion, haunted by a baby's eyes. And every reason lies, cause you know the truth inside. You're feeling like a coward, like the wrong person died. But still you gotta ride, let the years pass on by. Never really knowing why, the question's why I'm always high.
Damn.
Serving rocks, balling while they conquering and dividing. Teeth glistening, shining, listening to ourselves lying. Believing the bleeding ego, still trying. Identifying with the wine or what's. Self-hating is the scars and the cuts that run deep down. Not giving a fuck behind the sweet sound of the new blues. Rattling the truck from the sunroof to the new shoes. Chrome, neglecting the home. Disrespecting the zone that Sankofa should have shown us. Looking back before the times that they owned us. But never really owned the damn thing, the spirit sounding like.
Ever falling down, 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 ever falling down.
I'm hella irresponsible when possibly the cause of my subsequent downfall. Now I take a pause and reflect on my karma and laws. I've ignored all the signs that could cause a turn and redirect my preferred course of action before they curse in my ashes. The rehabilitation of the baddest on the planet was set a mark, a milestone of progress. The life-changing tones of why heart and soul mean the most. Learning forces me to search and exhume all my skeletons. A room full of demons where the angel was a prisoner. She's tortured for the visitors, the listeners who read between the lines and stay inquisitive to dissect the sentences.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy Reckless in the motherfucking building, and welcome to another episode of the Reckless Effect podcast. Man, I just want to say thank you again to everybody who's been supporting me thus far. I truly appreciate it. Continue to follow me on Instagram. If you guys are new to the podcast or new to whatever the fuck I am or who I am, enjoy the ride. I'm just all over the place. So let me just get into this. So it's been a weird week, especially weird because of the passing of Nipsey. Just the energy has been like weird, and people that I interact with that know of him, know of his music, you could just feel the energy. It's just different. And I've been different. It's made me think more about my contributions to my community and things that I can do. And his words, they don't look or feel the same. There's more to it. There's more. So I just, I've been feeling a lot better, and it's weird because I don't know him, but through his music, I feel like I was a part of the journey. And like I said before, that's part of the beauty of music. You don't know the artist personally, but you can relate and you can understand, and you feel like you've gone on this road with that person. So yeah, it's sad, but the healing is beginning. And to honor the man, we should live life the way that he did, through positivity, through giving back, through following your dreams and hustling as hard as you can to live out those dreams, and also to help people in your community, being supportive, being loving and caring, reaching out to those who may need that hand. Yeah, so it's I don't want to dwell too deeply onto the sadness part, but I do feel like I have to address the alleged, we have to say alleged, killer of Nipsey. What is going on outside? Big ass truck, niggas is moving. All right, so Eric Holder is in jail right now, under a $7 million bond. And the person that's defending him, I found that to be very weird, because reports are saying that he was on retainer. So that's weird. The person is Christopher Darden. If you don't know the name, you should know, because he was the prosecutor, one of the prosecutors in the O.J. Simpson trial. So that is insane to me. That's weird as fuck. I'm not usually the... I have some conspiracy theories. This was not one of those things that I wanted to sit on, but the attendance went up. You know what I mean? Like, it was kind of weird. Excuse me. It was kind of weird because one, who has that man on retainer, you know, like it's a weird flex. It's a weird setup. And who is the one who's paying for him? You know, that's so many questions. excuse me, but, it's something that I'm going to be really paying attention to, because there's no words, man. That is weird as hell. And it made me think, like, what the hell is, like, Chris Darden been up to? Like, all of a sudden, he's making O.J. Simpson put on the glove, and now he's defending killers. Like, what the fuck? Like, that's hella weird. But anyway, so it just made me think, like, okay, where has he been since the whole thing? He apparently has had his own TV show. He's been a correspondent on a couple of legal, like a legal commentator for CNBC, for CNN, Court TV, and all that other shit. He's done some stuff, and he's written a book. That's just wild, man. That is wild. That's just wild, man. But anyway, and keeping on topic with Nipsey, Kodak Black. I was never really like a huge Kodak Black fan, because his music is really not me, but he has had some cuts that I was really digging. But this weird little, no, just overall disrespectful thing that he's done, put out, or said lately, that's a little... to the left, but you tell me what you guys think about what he said.
Lauren, running that baby though, she's gonna be out here single. She's gonna be a whole widow out here. I'd be the best man I could be, fuck. I'd give her a whole year. She might need a whole year to be crying and shit. I ain't trying to shoot at her. I'm saying this. Look. No, she could do 2-3 years, but I try to be like, if you need a friend to holler at us, so to me, you know, you can call my line.
So, like, there's a couple of things in there. If he would have just said, like, yo, to reach out to her and, like, you know, like, lend her some support and let her know, like, hey, I'm here for you. I know, like, this is, like, tough right now. Like, that's fine. That's fine. Like, I never have, like, a problem with that. It's more of everything else, because in the beginning when he's like, oh, I'd reach out to her, or, like, she about to be single. And he was like, that inflection on that, that excitement on it. That's fucking weird and fucked up. How the fuck are you gonna go and prey on this woman who just lost the love of her life? Who lost the father of their kids? You know what I'm saying? Like, who the fuck are you? What kind of human being is that? And for him to say, oh, like, I'd give her a year before I'd do anything. I'm not trying to... No, shut up. Just be yourself. And you're gonna do it online. If that was done for clout, still, fuck you. Because how are you going to step in and say some dumb shit like that? Some just disrespectful shit like that. That shit really got me hot. Like, it's one thing to, like I said, go and, you know, lend support. It's another thing to have that ill intent behind it. And no matter what, this is who he is. A creepy-ass weirdo who just wants to say and do anything. It feels like he can because of his celebrity. I'm not supporting that bullshit. I'm not with that shit. That was just some ill, some fucked up shit. Man needs to go. Just, nah, stop it. Just stop it, cut it, because that was just ridiculous. Man, I know I'm no saint, and I've never been and never claimed to be, but I would never go that far. Any man, real man, would never go that far as to say that fucked up shit. That's the ultimate line of disrespect. That's just completely out of bounds. And to be honest, if I was Lauren, like, the very moment he was in my presence, I would slap the shit out of him, 100%. And, like, applaud the homies that was telling him, yo, that's mad disrespectful, chill. Like, man just died, you know? Like, those are niggas who have common sense. Even if they're, like, on some fucked up shit as well, you know what I mean? Like, they have common sense to know, like, that's a line that you do not cross. And start listening to him, because that's no, I'm not cool with that. So me personally, I'm not fucking with his shit, and I don't care how much that shit bang. No, until you offer like a legitimate and real apology for your words, like, no. And not only just that, he has to put in that action, and I honestly don't know what that is. I don't, because I've never been in that situation, and also I've never heard anybody say anything so disrespectful like that. Never. So, yeah, man, that's just ill. That's fucking ill. Moving on. So I wanted to address, like, this Joe Biden situation. If you guys don't know, apparently some women have come forward and said that he has made them feel uncomfortable with his physical contact. Some of them have said that he's had, like, came up behind them and put, like, his hands on their shoulders, or he, like, nestled his forehead on theirs, or, like, brought them in close to, like, nose, like, rub, like, weird shit. But they felt uncomfortable, so that's fair. And then he offered his apology. And I, for one, when I heard it, I said, yes. That is how you want to apologize, because he acknowledged what he did. He acknowledged the words that he said. I wonder if I could find that while I'm saying that, because I think it's important to, like, hear it within the context of, like, how he was saying and what he was saying. Because I felt very much so that it was a sound apology. Let me see if I can pull that shit up. Is this it? Damn, that's a lot. I don't even want to go through all of those. Yeah, so if you haven't heard it, go check it out. But I think this might be a good one. I don't know. Okay, cool. So this should be it. Yeah, so take a listen and then you come up with it.
I expect to be talking to you about a whole lot of issues, and I'll always be direct with you. Today I want to talk about gestures of support and encouragement that I've made to women and some men that have made them uncomfortable. And I always tried to be, in my career, I've always tried to make a human connection. That's my responsibility, I think. I shake hands, I hug people, I grab men and women by the shoulders and say, you can do this. And whether they're women, men, young, old, it's the way I've always been. It's the way I've tried to show I care about them and I'm listening. And over the years, knowing what I've been through, the things that I've faced, I've found that scores, if not hundreds of people have come up to me, reached out for solace and comfort, something something, anything that may help them get through the tragedy they're going through. And so it's just who I am. And I've never thought of politics as cold and antiseptic. I've always thought it about connecting with people. As I said, shaking hands, hands on the shoulder, a hug, encouragement. And now it's all about taking selfies together. Social norms have begun to change. They've shifted. And the boundaries of protecting personal space have been reset. And I get it. I get it. I hear what they're saying. I understand it. And I'll be much more mindful. That's my responsibility. My responsibility, and I'll meet it. But I'll always believe governing, quite frankly, life for that matter, is about connecting. About connecting with people. That won't change. But I will be more mindful and respectful of people's personal space. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I've worked my whole life to empower women. I've worked my whole life to prevent abuse. I've written, and so the idea that I can't adjust to the fact that personal space is important, more important than it's ever been, is just not thinkable. I will.
So in there, you can tell that he didn't like necessarily apologize for his actions. But what I do like about it is the fact that he was basically acknowledging that the things that he used to do that he felt was normal isn't. And those social norms are changing. He says in there, I understand that and have heard what these women are saying. Politics to me has always been about making connections, but I will be more mindful about respecting personal space in the future. It's my responsibility and I will meet it. I felt like that was perfect. Acknowledging your wrongdoing, listening to what people have to say to you, and adjusting, making that change. A lot of people today don't do that. They'll hear what people have to say. They'll hear, like, especially men. Men will listen to what a woman has to say, and they'll just kind of tune it out because it's like, blah, 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 you're always complaining, and they'll have that energy towards it. But they aren't making the right steps. A lot of men aren't making those right steps in order to fully understand what makes another person uncomfortable, because they're thinking, oh, this makes this one person uncomfortable. I'll move on to this other person and do the exact same shit. And I've been guilty of that. I've 100% been guilty of that. And I've been learning to pay attention to what I say and what I do to people. Because that type of energy and that type of behavior is uncalled for. And we have to be able to adjust and learn and unlearn past behaviors. And I also feel like we shouldn't hold somebody to this one stigma, because you have no idea where they're going to be in the future. You don't know how they're going to change, how they're going to grow. And we need to be able to allow people to grow. I felt like this was a really good statement, and we'll see him going forward. We also got to remember, this man is 76 years old, even though he don't look it. He is 76 years old. So a lot of things that he used to do back then, it's probably like a habitual thing that he's continued to do. And none of these women are alleging like anything sexual. He's never done anything sexual or assaulted a woman. Just made them uncomfortable. And I think that's important to note, because when this man runs for office, I don't want people to compare him like grabbing someone's shoulders and giving them a hug or bringing them in close, or, you know, even though it's a little creepy, it's not the same as sleeping with a stripper and using contribution money to pay her off. Hint, hint. Anyway, moving on. This little bit of news. Chance the Rapper's bodyguard is being sued by a man that is claiming was beat the hell out of in August of 2017 by Chance's bodyguard. So that's a little disturbing. I saw the video and I thought, wow, that's a little out of hand. That was a bit out of hand. Circumstances surrounding it was that apparently the fan was trying to get into the elevator, and Chance was there, and the security guard said, no, sorry, I have him in here. And they went down, And I guess he ran up to him later and was like, hey, want to get an autograph or take a picture with you? And the security guard pushed him away. And yeah, so if that's the situation, yeah, okay. But looking at the video and seeing Chance Moore should have stepped in and did something. If he really felt like his life was being like threatened, I understand wanting to step back. But seeing that this is just a fan, or seeing that maybe this was a bit too much, I would step in. I would step in and just say, yo, calm down. Like, get off of him. Like, are you okay? Like, hey, you know, immediately, not wait, but immediately, I would step in. So I'll keep an eye on that and see how that's going to go. But, I mean, from that video, it looks pretty rough. But we'll see, because there's always something that we just don't know that's not being released. And there are a lot of witnesses, so they might step in and say something different. Wendy Williams. Wendy, oh my gosh, Wendy, girlfriend. Seeing her in that, like, wheelchair, little buggy at a Walmart, that kind of broke my heart. Even though she's still wearing the ring, she just looked sad. She looked, like, disheveled. Like, she just looked like, she looked like a broken woman, man. And, even though she's pushing this hotline for abused women or drugs, like, she needs to step the fuck up and get this over with. And I totally understand why it's hard for women to come forward and speak about abuse, speak about mistreatment, especially her, because she is in the spotlight and she doesn't want her business out there. But you are a celebrity who also reports on other celebrities and their wrongdoings. Maybe you should step out and say something, because other people are going through the same thing. I've said this before, and I recognize that danger and I recognize that pain. But at the same time, she really needs to, she needs to come forward, because it can only get worse. Allegedly, the mistress in question had a baby that's allegedly his, and the only people that know about the situation really is those three. And I pray for her, because that's a very tough and sad situation. I just hope that she's ending up getting the help that she needs in order to fix the situation and get better, because she's looking real rough. What was it, last week she apparently left the home that she was at, got extremely drunk, and needs to check back into the facility. Apparently she's also going, she's going to be on her show tomorrow. So I feel like this is just spiraling out of control, and at some point she might lose all control. She needs to find somebody to talk to or address it publicly. She needs this. It's the only thing that I feel is going to save her life. And I think the safest way for her to do it is live on her show, in my opinion. Do it live on her show, because she would be surrounded by a bunch of people, a bunch of witnesses. She has her staff there that would be able to help protect her and fix the situation if it was to go out of hand. And if the allegations of Kevin being abusive are true, he might just snap and want to just go out and just be like, what the fuck are you doing live on TV? And that's her safe space. Then she would be surrounded by people that could help protect her, or even bring out that, you know, it would show. She would have the proof that she would need if he is that type of person. But by all accounts, that's not going to happen. So I just hope that she ends up finding the help that she needs, both with her substance abuse and with the physical abuse, because the substance abuse is coming from something. Focusing on that problem and feeling her feelings and understanding that these issues that I'm going through behind the scenes are the reason why I'm turning to drugs and alcohol, because I need to learn to cope. I need to learn to heal. And my husband is not helping me in this regard. That's how I feel about the situation, and I hope and pray for all parties. But she needs the help desperately. That was deep. That was rough. That's a rough situation. And seeing, like, and knowing, like, friends and family who've gone through certain things. Like, it's just crazy. And like, I don't even know if I can tell that story. People who know. Yeah. You know what? Yeah, because I know my mom's not going to listen to this. But a crazy story that was told to me by my mom and was confirmed later. My mom is a sav. My mom's a savage. Like, if anybody has ever met my mom, you know that my mom don't play that shit. And she's never, like, she doesn't bite her tongue. She's Bronx. She's from the Bronx. So she just has, like, this mentality. Like, it's insane. But anyway, apparently my dad and her, when she was pregnant with me, they were in line somewhere. And they got into, like, an argument or something. And my mom said something smart. And he felt embarrassed by it. And in front of people, he slapped her. Slapped her hard to where she was shook. More of like, did you just slap me? And she couldn't really, like, she didn't realize, like, oh shit, like, he really just slapped me. So she calmed down and was like, okay. And they went home. And then my dad, he comes over to her and was like, in the house, she was like, hey, or he was like, hey, what are you doing? She was like, oh, nothing. I'm just a little hungry. And he was like, all right, well, make me a bowl. So he goes into the room and lays down. My mom comes in there with the pot and she pours the oatmeal that she was making on his balls and then chokes him and says, if you ever touch me like that ever again, I will kill you. I heard it and just looked at my mom like, what? You almost killed my dad? Is that why he's not around? Because if that's the case, fuck him. Fuck him. That was insane. I thought that was like a crazy. And then when I hear, like, she said, and I felt like the hand of God touched me and let me know, no, not his time. And I was just like, what? And my grandma was like, no, that was me. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, it's insane. That's insane. And when I heard that story, it made me think, like, my mom is hella strong for that. Like, a lot of women don't have that strength within them to fight back. And I wish there was more women like my mom. My mom's crazy, but she's awesome. But I will say that ever since then, I've had this like energy in me to wanna to never be that man that ever puts his hands on a woman. And I never wanted to be around someone that does that to any woman. I will say this though, there are a lot of women who feel as though. Actually, I want to pose that question to people, like, for real. Why is it that nowadays a lot of women feel like it's okay to hit a man? And I know that kind of goes against what I was just saying about women coming up and being strong. But I'm also recognizing the just knowing that women can get away with hitting or striking a man without that first, like, without that defense, you know what I mean? I dated a woman who used to hit me. Like, I'm not an abused man, but she would always put her hands on me. Eventually, I just ended up walking away before I knocked her out. And it's not because I'm that type of person. It was more of a, you're pushing me to a point that I don't want to be at, and I have to leave because that's not me. And it just went way too far. But I know a lot of women that push that button and go that far. And when I ask them, why would you put your hands on them if he cheated or he did this? Why? Like, I understand the cheating thing, like, whatever, like, you're angry, but you still don't have to put your hands on anybody. And I firmly believe that you don't have to put your hands on anybody to get your point across. Not a man hitting a woman or vice versa, or man hitting another man or pulling out a gun, or like no act of violence is actually necessary if you can actually talk it out and have an understanding between the two. You can always have disagreements, but your disagreements should never come to the point where you have to put your hands on somebody in order to get your point across. That's what I'm saying. And I feel as though, when I asked my homegirl, why do you do that? She said, because I know he can't hit me back. That's scary as fuck. Because there's never an opportunity, or there's never that moment where a man comes into like a police station or calls the police and says, yo, she's beating me. And the police take that seriously enough to where they take her away or they arrest her. Like, it's never to that point. I've seen it firsthand where a guy actually did the right thing, called the police, and was like, yo, you got to get her out of here because she's just hitting me, blah, blah. And then the question was, what did you do? What the fuck do you mean? And as soon as she said, he hit me, and I had to step in, like, no, that didn't happen. That did not happen. And she didn't get arrested. They said, do you have someplace else to stay, miss? Well, you should go there and not come back. And I just that just blew me away, because if it's a dude in that situation and the dude hit the girl, he's going to jail. Because it's not like it's a crime to hit a woman. It's a crime to hit anybody. That's the thing. It's a crime to hit anybody. It is assault. But they take it more seriously when a man hits a woman, because the idea is it's morally wrong. It's ethically wrong. And I get it. But it's still morally wrong to put your hands on someone else. Period. No matter what the gender, no matter the sex, nothing, it's wrong, period. But why do, is that the real reason why women feel that comfortable? Because they know that you can't hit me back. And any time that I hit you, it's justified, because you deserve it no matter what it is. You didn't wash the dishes, I'll smack you upside your head. Like, if women do feel that way, is it any surprise that some men who don't have that in their character to actually snap and actually hit back? Is it a surprise, or is it still he should have just walked away? Because if that's the case, like, I just don't know. But I feel like that's a good question to ask. Like, why do women feel more emboldened to strike a man, even if it's not in a defense of like bodily harm? I don't know. That I think that's a good conversation to have, and I'm gonna have it with somebody who I know is crazy, or at least claims they're crazy. So be on the lookout for that, because I feel like that's a decent conversation to have. It's more of like an understanding. Like, I want to understand that. Yeah. So I know that's all over the place, but I feel like you get what I'm trying to say. I hope that it was conveyed properly. But I feel like that's a good question, because I would never hit a woman, but I have been pushed to that point where I felt like I need to, because I need to defend myself. But I've never got to that point where I've actually hit a woman. When I was 12, yeah, I did hit this girl back. But I was 12, and I didn't know any better. And there was a lot surrounding it, but it still wasn't okay. And I learned my lesson, and my actions went on from there. Like, I never, ever put my hands on a woman, ever, like that. And I never will again. Anyway. So I'm just going to move on from that, because that was a bit, but still. Yeah, so Kevin Hart. I don't know how I can't even segue into that. But anyway, Kevin Hart dropped his new movie on Netflix called Irresponsible. So I watched it, and I felt like this wasn't his best work. I felt like there was much more that he could have discussed. But I also feel like it was really missing something, and I couldn't put my finger on it. It was only an hour, and if that's what you gave that crowd in London at the O2, you gave them an hour. How good of a, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't feel like I went anywhere. I felt like he was telling like some stories, and it wasn't like super conducive to like the title being Irresponsible. Like, there were some things, but it just felt like it wasn't his best. It just really wasn't his best. I know it's going to do numbers because it's Kevin Hart on Netflix, and I don't have to go to the movies to go see it. I just felt like there was just missing so much. You guys can go check it out if you want. It is on Netflix right now. But yeah, speaking of Netflix, I need to watch. There's like a whole bunch of new shit that I need to watch on there. I've been like catching up on like some other shit. And it's, I don't know, I've just been watching like really random shit, but there are some new shit that's coming out. Like, I'm waiting for the new season of Black Mirror to come out. Apparently, this movie Velvet Buzzsaw came out a few months ago. I still need to see that. Like, I need to see a whole bunch of shit. So I'm looking forward to like having a day where I can just sit and watch all this new shit. Yeah, because a lot of it looks really, really good. Has anybody seen that show, The Umbrella Academy? I need to watch that, but it looks really good, but I have no idea, like, I don't know. I'm going to watch it. I just haven't had, like, time to. I've been watching Happy, and that show was great. I was really fucking surprised. Someone told me to watch it, and I'm glad that I tuned into that one episode, because that was actually good. I got to finish the second part of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. That just dropped, so I'm going to watch that. I've seen a lot of people talk about Love, Death, and Robots. I'm going to try to get onto that, too, after Umbrella Corporation, or Umbrella Academy, because that looks good. There's The Unicorn Store. There's a whole bunch of new shit that's out. I heard some stuff about Ultraman. I don't know if I'm actually going to watch it. Highwaymen looks really good. And if you guys get a chance to, watch the remastered docs that have been coming out. They've been, like, on point. The Massacre at the Stadium. The Two Deaths of... what was his name? Crap. But watch it. That shit was deep. Like, it was hella good. Was it The Two Deaths of Sam Cooke? Why did I forget that? But yeah, it was hella good. Like, there was a lot to him that I didn't know, and I didn't really see the connections between him and like his music and the government. It was a really, really good documentary. Yeah, those remastered ones are really good. The one on Jam Master Jay was good. And 30 for 30s are always hella good. Like, I'm really trying to find, like, a whole bunch of, like, shit to watch. So if you guys have anything that you guys thought was dope or really good, send them my way. Like, let me know. Drop a comment. Send me a DM on Instagram, Reckless Effect. Because I'm really, I love watching new shit and shit that I've never, like, heard. Like, I just watched Black Mirror a couple years ago because it just looked weird. I wanted to watch something different. And when I saw that first episode with the Prime Minister fucking a pig, that fucked me up, and it made me want to watch the rest of the show. Like, not because of that scene, but because of, like, the story surrounding it. It was just insane. I thought that was damn good. Damn good. So anyway. Oh shit. This little nigga, Kodak Black, responded a couple hours ago about what he said. I don't even know if I really want to get into that, but whatever. I'm gonna check that out later. So moving on to some good news. Cardi B has been nominated for 21 Billboard Music Awards. 21. That's dope. One shy of Drake and the Chainsmokers. What has the Chainsmokers been up to since that one song? Was it Sweater Weather? Like, I don't know. Like, I haven't heard really anything else. So, but maybe that's just me. I don't know. But yeah, so that's dope. Shout out to her. According to Billboard, her entire catalog has a record of 5.5 or 5.8 billion on demand streams in the United States alone. She making money. She making big money. That's insane. 5.8 billion? God damn. That's crazy. She's only the fifth rap artist to have a number one album. Man, I see why Nicki's losing her goddamn mind. She angry as shit. But speaking of Nicki, like, I feel like Nicki's only, like, in her bag about anything that has to do with Cardi or any other female rap artist, because she was the only one for such a long time. Like, for a while, she was the only one. So now the rise of, like, the female rap artist is coming out, and we're seeing her kind of just fade a little bit. That Queen album, it wasn't great when it first came out. I really wasn't a fan of it. Out of 20-something songs, like, five of them were, like, replayable. You know, it had that replay value. But only, like, five out of 20? That's still an F. That's still an F, no matter how you spin it. So it was just an okay album. But over time, grown to, like, about four more songs. So, I mean, yeah, it's still not a passing grade. It's just a... It's decent. Whereas, like, Cardi's, I really liked the album and how it was structured. It sounded really good. But I feel like now with this new album, if she's pushing to release sometime in, like, summer, maybe early fall, I think it's we're going to see how good she actually can be, if she can duplicate or if she can get out there and really push. I mean, she is going to be in this new movie with J-Lo and them, so I'm excited to see that when that drops. I mean, anyway, so going back to my first episode, I want to say, it was, I talked about Listen to All Victims, Believe All Proof. I still stand by that. Listen to All Victims, Believe All Proof. The reason why I'm saying that is because Michael Jackson's accuser, Michael Safechuck, there is proof that the incident, one of the incidents that happened of him being molested in a room at the, excuse me, at the Neverland train station, how he spoke on it so vividly, apparently it couldn't have happened because, and there's proof that the train station wasn't built until 1994, which was 2 years after he said the quote-unquote abuse stopped. So if that was built then, how can we stand on anything that he was saying? Okay. And for the director to come and say, well, how about adding up all the total of nights MJ slept with other people's sons? Was it hundreds or thousands? What? That's your defense? But you're not going to speak to this new allegation and the proof to back it up? The person who built it and the plans and city ordinances and all that shit, there, here's the proof. That just shows why we shouldn't have really taken, we should have only taken that leaving Neverland Dock with a grain of salt, because he didn't do his due diligence to confirm any of the shit. He did not. The director, Dan Reed, he didn't. He just took these kids' word and put some polish on it, some glitter and shit, and said, here you go. Rather than really doing the work, speaking with the family, the lawyers, other people who stayed at that place, reaching out to anybody to confirm any of this. Like if there's any, the maid, speak to her, any of that. But he didn't. He didn't do any of that. So how can we actually go forward and believe anything when we have proof that shows otherwise? And even though it's small, and I know that a lot of people are going to say, well, it's just this one thing. Like, it's still weird that he slept in the bed with kids. Fair. But that is one small part of it, just like this is. We all know Michael Jackson was weird. We all know that he was, he didn't have the childhood that he deserved and should have had when he was younger. We all know that. But we also have to recognize that all he wanted to do was just be a big kid, and he wanted to give kids the opportunity to be kids. And I'm not saying sleeping in a bed, sharing a bed with other children is okay, because that's not okay. That's weird. But if there's not any tangible proof that this man did any of these things, and we're only going off of the words of people who have been proven to lie over and over and over, and here is another, here's another thing that's telling you he's a liar, or there's another lie, how can we believe anything that's being said? Honestly, how can we? If the two people that are trying to tell you a story of this happening has habitually lied over and over and over, how can we believe him? How can we believe just Wade Robson? I love Wade. I've said it before. I love Wade. I think he's an amazing dancer, amazing talent. How can I believe you when you say it's not about the money, but you're secretly trying to sell Michael Jackson stuff? How can I believe that it's not about the money when you stopped working for years because of whatever, and you're claiming that it was like mental distress? How can we believe any of it when your career was like, you're working with NSYNC, you're working with Britney Spears, you're like making music for people, you're writing songs, and then all of a sudden, it's all that's done after Michael Jackson's gone, and we're supposed to believe that it's because, it's not because of Michael Jackson's help that you got that? And then when you find out that you're not getting anything from Michael, like you're not getting any money or anything like that from him when he dies, and it's like, well, I'm gonna get what I owe. That's how I feel. That's how I felt. Because you said that it's not about the money, but you sued the estate. for millions of dollars. Case got thrown out and you're appealing. And then you make this documentary. The documentary was only built to help push this narrative that this happened. So in the court of public opinion, a lot of destruction will happen in Michael Jackson's name. They'll take down his statues. They'll take down his plaques. They'll take down whatever of that man. And then you finally get to go see an appeal. And this is all in the air. The judges are going to work to the letter of the law. But they're also going to take into account everything that's been happening. So maybe there's some truth to it. It's smart, but it's failing. It's failing. So I hope that this shit does go away soon. And by all accounts, if there's another thing that comes out to prove that they are lying, I think Oprah owes the entire generation an apology. She already took down like the stuff that was on her page about it and on the O Magazine page, but she owes an apology because she was quick to say, Michael Jackson ain't shit, we gotta let him go. And it's like, but there's no proof. Listen to all victims, but believe all proof. Listen to what they say. Not to just break it down or break them down and pick apart everything that they're saying, but really listening to them so then you can try to understand if they are telling the truth or not. Then find proof. Then find proof. And if there's no proof that this happened, you have to just go from there. But it can't be based on your feelings. Like, just because this story that they spun has made you uncomfortable doesn't mean that it's true. It doesn't. So, I don't know. I hope you guys really take that to heart instead of just trying to knock down and say Michael Jackson is this, that, and the third, but there's no proof. And anybody out there that's going to say anything about R. Kelly, there's plenty of fucking proof. So stop it. There's plenty of proof. Not only is there tapes, and there's tapes. There's fucking tapes. There's visual, there's ocular fucking proof. You see it through these scans, these things that you call your eyeballs. Like, it's there. There's sound. There's all of that right there in your face to show you, oh yeah, that is R. Kelly. So how is it that we don't deny that that's R. Kelly in the fucking video, but we still say, I don't know, he was found not guilty. Like, what? The only thing that he was found not guilty of was child pornography. Child pornography. Not sexual assault, not rape, not sex with a minor. Like, come on. And I don't care if you're like gonna say, oh, well, the girl was 16. What's the age of consent? Fair, but don't care. Because if we all know that it's morally wrong and he does this, in our opinion, he should be a piece of shit. Just because he technically didn't break the law, would you care? Because the consent in Nevada is 16 years old. Here, it's 18. If you and your kid live in Nevada and a man comes up to your daughter and, like, sleeps with her, are you gonna be like, well, the law's the law? Or are you gonna be fucking pissed that this grown-ass 40-year-old or 30-something-year-old man slept with your 16-year-old child? You're still gonna be pissed because it's disgusting and wrong, and you're gonna want him to go to jail. Let's be real. Like, I don't wanna, that's just, the age of consent thing is stupid, and we should also recognize how old 16 really is, because it should be that way across the board. Because if it's, age of consent is 16 in Nevada or Chicago or Florida or Ohio, then we should also recognize that if that's the thing, then at 16, they should be able to buy alcohol because they're aware of their surroundings and situations, and they can make the choices on their own whether or not they want to do something. And that should be the case. No, that sounds stupid. Okay, then maybe we should make it 18 all across, because then they're technically an adult. Then they can make their own decisions. And if we're looking at it from in the example I said, they should be able to buy cigarettes at 18. They should buy alcohol at 18. They should be able to choose who they can say yes to while fucking at 18. It just, like, that's wild. I know. But at the same time, it makes sense to try to understand how old a certain age actually is and what they can and cannot do, what they can and cannot understand. If we recognize that you are not really able to understand or carry the responsibility and weight of buying cigarettes and drinking alcohol at the age of 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, then maybe we should rethink that process when it comes to the age of consent. Because a 16-year-old consenting to sex with a 30-year-old man or 40-year-old man, that's some weird old, like, old people shit, old white man shit to say, like, yeah, because we still want to be able to fuck these youngins. Like, no, get the fuck out of here. Let's, across the board, all across the United States, the age of consent should be 18. Because anything under that is fucked up and fucking disgusting. And I wish a motherfucker would come up to my daughter if she was 16 and I'm living in one of those states and they're like, oh yeah, you know, want to date your daughter. I will fuck you up. Fuck no. And I don't want to have anybody, like, try to blame these parents or anything like that, because that's a little wild, because we all know when we were kids, we did some fuck shit and we tried to get away with shit. We snuck out. We did whatever our parents told us not to do. Like, we're all guilty of it. And we all don't have, like, a watchful eye on our kids as we should. We should, but we can't see them all the time. Like, we can't be there all the time for every little thing that they do. We have to recognize that. But I don't know, maybe someone will hear this and make better sense of what I'm trying to say. But I feel like when Dave Chappelle did ask that question, it's a real statement. How old is this really? Because if you're not old enough to buy alcohol, you should also not be old enough to make the conscious decision to sleep with somebody that is 20 years your senior. You know what I'm saying? I think that's real and completely fair. Anyway, let's go from one liar to another. And when I say liar, James Safechuck, yeah, I'm talking to you. Wade Robson, still love your choreography, but yeah, you're a liar too. So anyway, that's just my opinion. Whatever. Moving on to Jussie Smollett is being sued by the city of Chicago for $140,000. Bruh, I'm hype off this. Even though he was found, or even though they dropped all those charges, and I think that it was just like a concealed thing where it's like, we'll say we dropped the charges, but you have to go to, help out in your community, do community service. And you also have to forego that 10 grand that you had to pay for your bail. Because if I got my charges dropped on a case and you all thought that I did it and I went to jail and I had to pay 10 grand to go on bail, and then you finally were like, yo, we dropped the charges because we don't have enough evidence, blah, 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 I want my 10 grand back. I'm not going to let y'all niggas keep my 10 grand. Fuck that. No, it's my money. But anyway, so I think it's brilliant. And I think that his career is 100% on the line as of now. Because it's just crazy. Because if this goes, they have to go to like a civil suit, if it's completely different from the letter of the law. If they go to a civil suit and he says, I'm fighting this, I don't want to pay this, guess what? The cops have to, the state has to show every single piece of evidence and put it out there for the world to see what exactly they investigated, all the things that they found, and line all that shit up. Oh, actually, it's looking like they can go for up to $390,000 in a lawsuit. But if that's the case, that's even more so. If I was Jussie, I wouldn't want any of that shit to come out. I would not want any piece of that investigation to come out to the masses. Because now my future employers and my current employer will see this shit and they'll be like, oh, so that's what they found. That's what they did? Yeah, I'm sorry, we have to let you go. Or, sorry, there's no work for you, Mr. Liar. Like, that's all going to have to come out. It's a smart move. It's not the move that they actually wanted. But if you fuck around and do this terrible shit and make a mockery out of the state of Illinois, the city of Chicago, and you have this on, send them on this wild goose chase for yourself, like, yeah, your ass is going to have to pay the price. Personally, I wanted him to go to trial, but because then everything will come out and he can face whatever is coming. But hit him where it hurts, hit him in his pockets. And if I was him and I wouldn't want any of that shit to come out, I would say, how much they want? Can we knock that down maybe to just 10 grand and call it a day? Or something? Like, because if it's going up that high and he actually goes to court, man, this is, this got good. This got really good. So I'm very much looking forward to it. Man, that's some wild shit. I'm not even gonna front. So anyway, in the next couple of weeks, I'm gonna be inviting some people over, some friends, some people that I like find their stories like really cool, and just talk about everything from life and music to happiness and joy to pop culture shit. I'm also going to be talking about just anything and everything with people because I feel like everybody's experiences can help shape who you are. Not saying that you're going to mimic their behavior, but you can see where they failed and where you can grow from there. Or you can even reach out to that person and say, hey, you messed up here, and I know you know that, but here's another way that you can do it so then you can grow. Just rap about shit. Just talk about shit. I'm going to see who my first guest... Actually, my first guest is going to be my homie Isaac from 3 Count Podcast. For those who don't know, he's actually like a huge hip-hop head. So we're probably going to just sit here and just talk shop, talk about everything in music, new artists, underground, backpacking, indie, mainstream, whatever. We're just going to talk and have that conversation. Later on, I'm going to have some other shit come up. But... this is going to be fun. This is going to be a lot of fun. And in the future, I'm going to be also doing some live streams. And just most likely it's going to be on Twitch or Periscope. One of the two or both. Talk to you guys. And you guys can ask me things. Just talk about things that are going on in the world. Talk about just anything. Throw any fucking thing at me and we'll just talk. So it's going to be fun. I'm very much looking forward to it. Everything that's coming out. So before I get out of here, I'm going to play for one of my closers. Someone that I actually like really love and respect as an MC, as an artist. I wanted to play one of his new shit, but then while I was just playing, you know, random on here, this song popped up and I was like, yeah, this is how I'm going to close the show. So... here is Murs with The Science. Enjoy, y'all.
So I'm at the barbershop, and we're talking about this new generation of hip-hop and how lost y'all are, man. But y'all don't have no science. So here you go. The systematic knowledge of the physical world gained through observation and experimentation, usually beginning with a hypothesis of what some may call an estimation. Record your results from a series of tests, and what you're left with is a theory at best. Now let me give my hypothesis an educated guess on why my people on the whole seem to be such a mess.
Genocide.
The deliberate extermination of a race, culture, or an entire nation. Centuries ago they brought us here on a boat, enslaved us, beat us till our spirit was broke. Then they gave us freedom and a little bit of hope. Then they killed our leaders and they gave us dope.
Crack.
From the CIA by way of Nicaragua, shipped to Rick Ross, he's the black godfather. Now Oscar Blandone was his known supplier. He snitched on Rick so that he could retire. Ratted on Ricky so he got out quickly. Now this is where the situation gets a little sticky. Not a citizen of the USA. He was released and got hired by the DEA. Then he got his green card from the INS. But that should never happen due to previous arrest. See, our government seems to think that there is a difference between powder cocaine and crack. For instance, you get 5 years for 5 grams of crack, but in the powder form you have 100 times that. Now who has the rock and who has the powder? Who's the oppressed and who has the power? They want you to fail so you wind up in jail. You know how much they make while you're sitting in that cell? Billions of dollars for inmate facilities. You sell yourself back into slavery willingly. It's not black and white, it's so much more. It's rich staying rich and the poor staying poor. The poor whites meth, the poor blacks crack. It's not about race, and once you realize that, we as a nation are free to move on and become one people, a movement strong.
Jumping this size,
mercy.
Jumping this size,
mercy. Is a scientist.
Size where they drop bombs.
Mercy.
Dropping this size,
mercy.
Dropping this size,
mercy.
Dropping this size, size where they drop bombs.
Mercy.
scientists.
Now black people weren't the first to be enslaved. We were just the first to be treated this way. No education, you were killed if you could read. So you hid your intellect if you wanted to succeed. And what happens to a lie when you're living it? You lose sight of who you are and start forgetting it. So many of us to this day act ignorant, a mere shadow of our former magnificence.
Welfare.
No independence. We become victims dependent on the system. Looking for a handout, waiting on some help. Dwelling on the past, feeling sorry for yourself. But you do what you can to make it out the trap. And that right there is the origin of rap. It wasn't always played on every radio station. It was us making the best out of a bad situation. Inner city schools stopped teaching us instruments. We took turntables and start flipping it. Stole electricity from the streetlights, plugged it into a system and made the beat hype. There was a mic, but MCs weren't ruling. It was more about what the DJ was doing. He'd say a few words to keep the party moving. The B-boys dancing to the breaks and the grooves. And the break was the part where the record broke down. Where it was just a drum and a couple of sounds. You had two records, you could go back and forth to keep the groove going because the break was so short. Now if that ain't science, I don't know what is. The ingenuity of these young black kids. The Bronx, New York, Sedgwick and Cedar. Cool Herc birthed hip-hop, true believers.
Theory.
Adversity produces opportunity. Anything's accomplished through strength and unity. The fate of the world is in the hip-hop community. The revolution's here and now with you and me.
Dropping this size,
mercy.
Dropping this size,
mercy. It's a scientist.
Dropping this size, size where they drop bombs.
Mercy.
Dropping this size,
mercy.
Dropping this size,
mercy.
Dropping this size, size where they drop bombs.
Mercy is a scientist.
Supreme.
Like I said, that was MERS with The Science. I'm also going to play one more track just because I heard her interview on The Breakfast Club and I'm absolutely in love with this artist. Such an incredible artist. If you haven't heard the interview, it is on The Breakfast Club, iHeartRadio. You can listen to the whole podcast or the whole interview. She's incredibly dope, incredibly talented. You all know who she is. You probably already know the song, but I fucking love it, so I'm gonna play this shit. This is her with As I Am.
It's like the morning time. Don't wanna wake up, I just wanna stay in bed. But if I'm next to you, I'm looking forward to just laying in this bed. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that never gets old. Promise you'll never let go. I don't want no one else. So we should be chilling back. Ain't nothing wrong with that. So tell me that, tell me that. Tell me I'm the best I am. I'll be feeling like yes I am, I am. You know I'm the best I am. Be a fool to not take me as I am. Tell me I'm the best I am. I'll be feeling like yes I am, I am. You know I'm the best I am. You be a fool to not take me as I am. Sweetest thing I know, like my favorite Lauren song, and I need you really bad. Don't take me for granted, you'll be regretting it. Oh, I should be your last. Oh, yeah. Ooh, that never gets old. Promise you'll never let go. Grass ain't green nowhere should be chilling back. Ain't nothing wrong with that. So tell me that, tell me that. Tell me on the best diet. I be feeling like yes, I am. I am. You know I'm the best diet. Be a fool and not take me as I am. Tell me I'm the best diet. I be feeling like yes, I am. I am. You know I'm the best diet. You be a fool and not take me as I am.
Definitely gonna get out of here. To all those that are watching WrestleMania, I'm gonna be watching it too. Comes on Sunday. Oh my gosh, I believe it's WrestleMania season already. Woo! Yes, I'm a huge fucking nerd and I don't give a shit. I love wrestling. Anyway, so hope you guys have a great weekend. I hope you guys have a great day. I hope you guys have a great whatever the fuck you're doing. Just enjoy life, man. It's a beautiful day. Shout out to everybody that's in Australia that's listening. Truly support it. That's amazing. Australia. Wow. I just got that just now. and to everybody else that's been listening, thank you so much for your support. And I will check back with you soon. Have a great, just a great life, man. It's beautiful out there. Enjoy it. Peace.